Amen. First John chapter 3, verses 11, 12, and 13. Here's John. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Amen. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you.
Amen.
Precious Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the beauty of it. Thank you for the power of it. Thank you for the grace and mercy that's found in your word, Father God. Thank you for the power that comes when we receive you as Lord and Savior and receive your spirit, Father God. Thank you for the church, the people of God everywhere and throughout the land. We pray for our brothers and sisters everywhere, because marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, John is going over and over. I said several times as going through the lesson, he was a circular preacher. A circular preacher, meaning he just went, he may want to make sure you got it really, really good. I think it's a great way to preach. Because when I teach it on Wednesdays or Sundays, questions that come up that I know we cover, but sometimes we just need a little reinforcement, you know, just a little touch up, you know. Let me make sure I got that. The whole, you know, faith and grace and mercy. We hear these terms all the time, but do we really get a good grasp of them unless we go over them and over them and over them? So like raising a child, you just say, raise up, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Okay? Okay, it is what it is. So look at our text. He says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we, as a church and a people of God, we should love one another. One of the reasons he can say that is because if we don't love each other, if love ain't found in here, definitely ain't going to be found when we leave from this place.
Amen.
Okay? But the world ain't going to love us. If we standing for the things of God, if we standing for God in a dark world, the world ain't going to be patting us on the back. The world ain't going to be loving us. The world going to get away from us. If they can't get away from us, they may go to another extreme. So John wants the believers to love one another. And how should we love each other? Based on what Sylvia prayed this morning. Because what God has done for us.
Amen.
Because what God has done for us ought to make us love everybody that God has done it for. Okay? And we'll have some differences and things like that. But some of the things that we can't differ on is the love of God.
Amen.
We can't differ on the love of God. We can't love someone who says they're a brother if they don't believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. What does that make them? Not a brother.
Amen.
John is being divisive at the same time loving. But these Gnostics that came into the church and basically were teaching that wasn't Jesus on the cross. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to believe that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave. And John is correcting them at the same time, saying, it's going to be different. It's going to be tough sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Amen.
Standing for the truth. Standing for the truth in a dark world. So he goes all the way to Genesis. And then he goes into one of the darkest stories that's found in Scripture to illustrate his point. See, these preachers weren't like the ones today. They smooth today. They so smooth today. You wouldn't even know. You was listening to the preaching. Okay? They smooth. John wasn't smooth. Peter wasn't smooth. None of the apostles was smooth. See, they all got killed. That's why I know they wasn't smooth.
Amen.
Okay? Listen to what he says. For this is the message you heard and understood from the very beginning, that we are to love one another. And then, almost out of the blue, just so like maybe somebody was asleep. Not as Cain. Not as Cain. Who was of that wicked one. See, they're preaching today. There's Christians today. I'll put it like that. I've talked to people and I said something like this on, a lot of times I'll be on social media and I'll throw something out because I know folks will be like, well, I don't know. I asked the question, I said, is Cain in heaven? And there are folks out there believe Cain is okay. Well, that's not for me to say, you know, that's up to God. No. The scripture is clear. Not as Cain. Okay? I'm not talking about Cain the wrestler. I like that Cain. One of my favorite wrestlers was Cain. Not as Cain. Watch this now. Who was of that wicked one. Meaning he was controlled. He was a slave. He was a tool. He was a child of the devil. Okay? And slew his brother. We're going to get into all this today. And slew his brother. Now, a lot of theologians differ on what that word slew means. Most that I study understand he came up from behind and slit his throat. That would be how they would slew a lamb before they offered it for a sacrifice. They cut his throat. They didn't beat it upside the head with a rock. He slew his brother. Why? All these question marks. These folks would have known. These believers would have known.
Amen.
Okay? But John is just pressing. That's why I like him. Start like John more and more. Wherefore he slew him. So I'm going to ask the question, why did he do it? Why is anybody doing what they're doing today? Why do we have murder every day? Every day. Mass shooting, murders, killing. Why is this happening? Satan's on the move. Okay? Satan's on the move. Satan's in control of some folks' lives, and we're going to go down that road a little bit. But why did he kill his brother? Why did he slew him? Watch this now. Because his own works were evil. Because his own works were of the devil. Because he was controlled by sin and evil and jealousy and malice and hatred and bitterness. He had an evil heart. Because his works were evil. Here we go. And his brother's righteous. Sort of like why did they kill Jesus?
Amen.
Why did they kill Jesus? Somebody said, well, why did they kill Jesus? Because his works were righteous. And theirs were evil. I like verse 13. I may spend some time with it next week too. Marvel not. Don't be amazed. Don't be surprised. Don't let it catch you off guard, my brethren. If the world hate you. So many Christians, so soft, so tender, so weak. So thin skinned, get up. They want everybody to love them. Ain't happening. If you stand for something, you better understand one thing for certain. Somebody else said two things for sure. Satan coming at you.
Amen.
You're not going to sit here and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to save a dying world and not get no resistance. You're not going to sit here and tell folks, well, you know what? I ain't drinking no more, I ain't cussing no more, I ain't fornicating no more, I'm done with adultery, I'm done with all the stuff of the world, because it's evil and people who partake in that is going to hell without all hell breaking out.
Okay. Better. You better.
Two men. Now, when I'll be studying, I'll be like, two men. That's interesting. God used two men a lot in the Bible. He used two men a lot in the illustrations. Think about it. And y'all know that I always say, you one of them. Okay? There's two thieves on the cross. Okay? One was of the devil, and one was of heaven. Why? Why? Let's go back. Why did God accept Cain's Abel's offering? Because his offering was of faith. Abel offered a lamb, which was what God said would cover your sins. And it was accepted. How was it accepted? By faith. He believed what God said. He believed what his mother and father had taught him. Listen, we sinned. We weren't the perfect parents. We sinned. Eve got that fruit, gave it to me. We did partake, and we messed up big time. Okay? And God covered our sins with blood. Okay? Now, sons, now you're of age, where you can make a sacrifice to the Lord to cover your sins. You need to cover them with a blood offering. Would that do it, Dad? Would that do it, Mom? Yes. That's what God requires. What did Abel do? Made an offer with a lamb. What did Cain do? Now listen to God. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm not that bad. Okay? I don't need to do this. As a matter of fact, this is harder work than just bringing a lamb. I look what I did. I got a basket. I got a basket. I got apples and oranges. I designed them. I mean, it is beautiful. You know, God's going to take this. There's a problem because God didn't ask for that. He asked for blood.
Amen.
By faith, Abel gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, the one thief on the cross said, what? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Let me give you just a couple stories. Two men's stories. Let me give you this one. There was a rich man, clothed in purple, who, what the Bible says, fared sumptuously every day. And then there was a poor man, a beggar man, that sat outside his gate, begging for food. One went to heaven, one went to hell. Why? Why? Because the beggar had faith in God. Then there's no more to it. Two men went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee, y'all know the story. I got it all together. I fast, I tithe, I give. I'm the leader of the church. I do everything. And I'm glad. I'm not like this dude over here. And the dude over here said, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. Which one went to heaven? The Bible said, Jesus said, the publican went away confident. The Bible said there were two men working in the field. I liked it, this one. And one of the people I was studying, I said, they're like two co-workers. You go to work, you're working side by side with somebody all your life, and you praising the Lord, you worshiping the Lord, and you reading your Bible, you trying to live a godly life, and the other one, all he talks about is stuff and parties and drinking and running the streets and all that. And the rapture coming. One is taken and one is left. Cain and Abel. Cain was born just like Abel. He was the first child ever born. How about that? He was the first child ever born in this world of a man and a woman. What else was he the first to do? He was the first murderer. He was the first murderer. How about that? Why? Because he was born with what kind of nature? A sinful nature. He was born in sin. And it don't take long. Don't take long to find out your child has got some sin problems. David said in Psalm 51:5, y'all know these verses. He said, behold, David pleading with God because of David had sin. He had committed adultery and had Bathsheba's husband murdered in the end. And he says, behold, I was what? Shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. I mean, when that child was in the mother's stomach and that child was nourishing off that mother, that child was being nourished in a sinful body. Abel brought a sheep. And it was a test of his faith. It was a test of his faith all the way back to Genesis. And the verse that came to mind when I was looking at it, Abel brought the sin offering by what? Faith. Watch what it says. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Through faith. And not of yourselves. Cain brought what he could do. He brought his own work. He brought his own stuff to the party when the only thing that was required was faith. And he could have went to Abel at any time and said, Abel, God want us to sacrifice a lamb. He want a blood offering. And I'm working in the field. All I got is grain. All I got is, you know, corn and grain and root bar and all that stuff. He said, can I get a lamb? And nobody here believed Abel wouldn't have gave him one because it was required. He didn't even ask. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Should boast. Here's another part to the story. Okay? It shows the necessity for what? We got a sinful nature. We have faith, not works. Somebody say, I know it wasn't what? The blood. God required a blood offering. He didn't ask, you don't have to ask no questions either. I'm like, why God? Why do you require a blood offering? That's not the point. God said it. That, okay? See, and the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's a time where we give a thanksgiving offering. There's a time where a thanksgiving offering is required. A thanksgiving offering is an offering of grain and barley and wheat and corn. And you offer that to the Lord. You offer the first fruits of it to the Lord as your way of saying thanksgiving. But God was asking for a blood offering. Okay? Anybody ever read this verse? It's found in Jude. It's found in Jude. Let me read it. Found in Jude chapter 1, verse 11. I've looked at this verse a lot, but when you studying, this is the thing, when you studying to preach a lesson or to teach a lesson, the verse just sort of gets amplified. Okay? Jude 1:11. Now we probably sit here, we've read it, we've heard it, but have anybody ever put some sauce on it? Really thought about it? Watch what it says. Woe unto them. Now, before I go on, Jude is talking about, he's talking the same language that John is talking about. He's talking about false teachers, people who want to say there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. I said it this morning, somebody got into my sermon this morning, and they used the illustration of a mountain. And they said, heaven is like a mountain. There's a lot of ways you can get to the top of the mountain. That's a false teacher's teacher. You can go, you can climb it. You can get on a four-wheeler, you can get a helicopter, you can get a parachute, you can get to the top of the mountain. There's a lot of ways to get there. That's not true.
Amen.
There's only one way to get to heaven.
Amen.
Okay? And Jesus is the only way. He said it himself. He said, I am the way,
Amen.
The truth, and the light, and no man comes to the Father but. Okay? So this is a never-ending fight. And here we see in Jude chapter 1, verse 11, watch what Jude say. Whoa! What's that word tell you? Stop! Stop right now. Don't give them no more of your attention. Some things you just got to say whoa to. You're running into something that's giving you the whoa. I was driving yesterday and somebody came up behind me. I mean, they was going like 90. And I just move on over. Whoa, you got somewhere to go, buddy. Okay? In the back of my mind, I'm hoping the cop is in front of me.
Amen.
And pull him over. But that's just, I don't even know if that's right.
Amen.
Am I the only one think like that?
No,
I say, well, they mark it, so I ain't going to worry about it. But watch what he says. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? See, when you're studying the Word of God and teaching it, I have to say, well, what's the way of Cain? It is the evil way. Based on the scripture, it is an evil way.
Amen.
Okay? But it's more than that. See, the way of Cain is the way where you can get to heaven and you can please God by your works. That's the way it takes. You can please God by what you do. That's what some people think. Some people think they're doing God a favor when they come to church.
Amen.
Well, you know, they wake up, oh, you know what? I'm going to do God a favor just Sunday and come to church. They miss church. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to do the pastor a favor. I know they don't have a lot of members there. And I'm going to show up. That ain't getting you no brownie points.
Amen.
God don't care if you come to church or not. Okay? And truth be told, I really don't. Okay? I'm putting this message together and if nobody show up, what am I going to do?
Preach the
word.
Amen.
I've already been down that road. I preached when I went to church.
Amen.
Okay? I heard Pastor Frost tell me this one years ago. I said, if you can't preach in an empty church, you can't preach at all anyway.
Amen.
I thought that was resounding. That stayed in my mind for a long time. You know, because if you preach it for people, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Amen.
Okay? Woe unto them that have gone the way of Cain. They're telling you, you don't need Jesus. Let me finish the verse. Let me finish that verse. He throws a couple other preachers in there too. Watch what he says. I'm going to make y'all think about this verse later on in the day. I see Jay write it down. He's going to write it down. He's going to put some time on it. Woe unto them that have gone the way of Canaan and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now remember Balaam? The Israelites were still in the wilderness. They were trying to get through the wilderness. They were struggling to get through the wilderness. And the king of Moab went to Balaam, who was one of the leaders, one of the prophets, and said, put a curse on him. Put a curse on him and I'll pay you big. Okay? And a lot of churches have had a curse put on them by preachers who will do anything for money. Say anything for money. Y'all seen it before. I've seen it. Then he has one more group. Then he says, in Paris, in the gainsaying of Cor, or Coran. He knows a hostile group of people who came up in the wilderness and they refused to obey Moses. It didn't end good for him. It didn't end good for him. So we have our outline. We have our outline. We have our story. Listen. When we start talking about Cain and Abel, and we start talking about his steps, and someone, I'm telling y'all, y'all be on it in the morning. I don't know what be getting into y'all, but the verses be coming up that I have written down. And I'm like, okay. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. Watch this now. And he delighteth in his way. See, a good man, a good woman that loves the Lord, it's a delight. It's a delight. Serving God is not a burden. Serving God is not cumbersome. Serving God is just second nature. It's what you do. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. If God used me, think about that. God is using me. That ought to be, you know, if you want to get prideful about something, that ought to be something. God, I feel honored that you called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Fill me with your spirit. You know, I mean, that ought to be the highlight of your life. You know, your book ought to, if you write a book, every chapter ought to be about what God has done for you. What God has done for you. Think about that. God has been good to you. God has been good to us. And we sit here and say, no, he ain't been so good to you. Let me tell you something. Don't base everything God is doing for you on this life. There's a life to come. There's a life after this. Okay? So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What's the contrast of that? The steps of a bad man are ordered by the evil ones. Look at Cain. He hated. The Bible says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know, watch this, that no murderer have eternal life abiding in him. That don't mean a murderer can't get saved. That's not what it's saying. But if you have a murderous heart and you are a murderous person, murders with your mouth, murders with your with weapons, yeah. His steps were ordered. He not only hated, hate led to what? Kill Cain. Think about how he killed Cain. Genesis 4 tells the story of Cain and Abel. I'm not going to get through all of it. I'm just going to hit a couple verses. But this, I thought this verse was sort of fascinating. God had told Abel, Cain, watch this in Genesis chapter 4. I might have to read more now than I wanted to, but I'm in Genesis 4:1. Stay with me. Let me just walk through this. This is a different kind of sermon. Okay? Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and they conceived. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from God, or from the Lord, all caps. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain was the tiller of the ground. A lot of people say they were twins. Okay? The Bible don't say they were twins, but a lot of folks say they were twins. Talk to me after church. What you think? Now watch verse 3. Read with understanding. And in the process of time, it came to pass. That means they got older. They grew up. They became young men, able to work and able to understand the scriptures and able to make sacrifices unto the Lord. The Israelite or the Jewish process would have been, possibly they were 13 at this time, but I don't know if they were. Huh? I have looked at that to say they were Jews. Adam is a Jew. I never read that before. So I'm going to leave that alone for now. I'll get back to you on that. But in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground in offering unto the Lord. The fruit of the ground, meaning he earned it. He worked for it. Listen, it most likely was the most beautiful basket of fruit ever offered to God. Okay? Verse number 5. Verse number 4, last part. And the Lord, let me go back. Listen. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Okay. How do you get the fat? What do you got to do to get to offer the fat? You got to kill it. You got to kill it. So Abel offered a lamb and killed it and offered God a blood offering, what was required to cover the sin, because the word of God said, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his flock, into his offering. Now what's Cain? What's Cain? But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Meaning he didn't accept it. Meaning it was not what he asked for. Meaning it was not what was required at this offering. He had no respect for. Now watch Cain. And Cain was very wroth. That word wroth means he blazed up. Jealousy. Got hot under the collar. Anger. All that kind of stuff. And the Bible said, and his countenance fell. Meaning you could see it. You could see it in his face. You could see he was ready to do something. You ever ran into somebody like that? They ready to do something. They ready to hurt something. His countenance fell. He was ready to kill. Now watch God. Watch this God we serve. Watch the love of God. Watch the mercy of God. Watch the grace of God. And the Lord said unto Cain, talking to him. Personal. We don't want a personal relationship. God is speaking to Cain and he's talking to Cain. Trying to do what? Get him to do right. Any of us been there? And God has done, listen, you know you're wrong. I don't care. Do it anyway. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you ready to do something crazy? Why are you so angry? And why is thy countenance fell or fallen? Watch his answer. God's still talking to him, excuse me. His grace, his mercy. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted. What kind of God we serve? That's mercy. That's grace. That's the God we serve. Extending grace to Cain. Go do the right thing. Just go do the right thing. Don't we talk to people like that? We ever talk to people like that? Listen, let's do the right thing. He's offering them grace. People say, there ain't no grace in the Old Testament. Yes, it is. The Old Testament is full of God's grace.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
The Old Testament is full. I hear this. Listen. David asked for grace and got it.
Amen.
Okay? As the guy said, I want another 15 years. I'm not ready to die yet. God gave it to him.
Amen.
Okay? Here's Cain. And if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Y'all heard that before. Sin waiting for you. Sitting outside your door like a lion, ready to pounce upon you. Ready to take control of your life. Ready to take control of your thoughts and your actions and your behavior. Deacon Jeremy gave us a wonderful illustration on Wednesday night. Because sin was lying at the door.
Amen.
Now, all of us have been in situations, where, listen, this could cost me everything if I slap you. So you look at, Columbus like, he messing with me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We all been in a situation where, listen, if I go down this road, I may not come back.
Amen.
And Cain, and here's God talking to Cain, and he says, sin lieth at the door. How much love can God show this man? And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now watch verse 8. This is demonic. This is Cain being evil. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Wonder how that conversation went. Because maybe he said, Abel, you know, Abel, that was a wonderful thing you did. I respect you, man. You brought the right offering. I brought the wrong offering. Man, can you take me to your flock? Give me what, you know, your second best I can offer to God, and I can be right with God. I don't know what the conversation was like, but the Bible says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. He may have said, I needed a lamb because my offering wasn't right. I don't think so. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, cut his throat, killed him, okay? Buried him in the ground. Remember when God called Adam and Adam and Eve had sinned? God said, Adam, where art thou? He already knew. He already knew. He's omniscient. He know everything. We serve a God that know everything. Now, the Lord in verse number 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Where is Abel thy brother, Cain? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Get a little jazzy with God. Okay? You ever had your kids get a little fly with you? They doing it already, Jake? Kids get a little fly with you? Or anybody that, you know, anybody that you know can't whoop you. You ever ask somebody you know can't do nothing with you? Get fly. Get a little jazzy with you. You know, you, ooh. Here's God. Here's Cain getting jazzy with God. Lipping off. You know what I mean, honesty? Talking jazzy to adults. Here's Cain talking jazzy to God, and he says, what hast thou done? God's talking to Cain, and thy brother's blood cried from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. I'm going somewhere with this. Okay? Watch what he take away from Cain. Cain loved farming. He loved working in the fields. He loved it. And God hit him with that verse. He says, and when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. And a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Now, what would you think should have been Cain's response? Seriously. I'm sorry. Lord, have mercy on me. Father, forgive me. I have done wrong. I'm evil. None of that. None of that. I look for the absence of that. Okay? Because then none of us all got it all together. But at some point in your life, you have to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And Cain, here's his answer. Here's his answer. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Listen, there's only two kinds of people in the world. You got Cain's folks. Okay? You got Cain's folks and you got God's folks. That's it. I heard somebody this morning, somebody said, we can straddle the fence, but if you straddle the fence, you're still on the wrong side of the fence.
Amen.
Okay? I love Hazel. Okay? And all of us in here that say we were straddlers. Okay? What happened when you die straddling the fence? Where you go when you die straddling the fence? Okay? You're gonna fall on the wrong side of the fence every time. Abel is a picture of Christ. Said it this morning too. Abel was a picture of Christ. How? Why, Pastor? Why do you say he's a picture of Christ? Because Abel died in the hands of sinful men. Sin caused Abel to be killed. His righteousness was he was, they was jealous of his righteousness. Cain was jealous of his righteousness and killed him. Okay. His offering was the right offering.
Yeah.
It was offered in blood. What did Jesus offer? See, that wasn't just any blood on the cross. See, the one preacher said, well, down on the cross, all it took, anybody could have done it. See, you got to turn him off. See, you got to turn him off. See, you got to turn him off with the quickness. See, it wasn't any kind of blood. Peter says in 1 Peter, it was the precious blood of the Lamb. It wasn't any kind of blood. So when Pastor Kenneth Copeland said, well, if it's down on the cross, anybody could have done it. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, and Abel's offering, I said it earlier, was an offering of faith. Let me wrap up. Let me give you just a couple of things that this lesson brought out to me, and I'll let y'all go. And I said there's only two kinds of people in the world. Okay, unbelievers like Cain, believers like Abel. Okay. What's the difference? What's the difference? What do we have that the world don't have? How about that? Let me give you the foundation. If you're ever looking for the scripture that explains the Bible, explains the whole gospel, you go to 1 Corinthians 15:1. Y'all thought I was gonna say John 3:16, but they're similar. You'll see a lot of John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 15, but watch what 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, and every believer says amen to that, to this verse. It has to be given a hearty amen. Paul writing to the Corinthian church. Now remember 15 chapters of Corinthians, and he has given them the business all the way through the book. Then he gets toward the end of the book, and he says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you. That's all he preached. Paul said, I preached Christ and crucified. He said, which also ye have received and wherein you stand. By which also, here we go, you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. There's no vain believers, I pray. If you believe, you believe. And now I don't believe in vain. Vain means empty. Here's the gospel. Paul said, I ain't have a buffet. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, not according to me. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to
the scriptures. How about that? How about that? How about that? Listen. Suffering. See how things was working this morning? Y'all was working this morning. Suffering. Part of it. See, suffering is part of the Christian life, and we don't want to suffer, but your blessing comes in suffering. Your blessing comes when you're walking with the Lord, you're going to suffer. No, I know. Because we want to live in a dark world. So when you show up at the job, and you got your Holy Ghost kind of glory going on, and you just praising God, and you thanking Him that you woke up, and you thanking Him that your children are good, you thanking Him that your kids are okay, they got to school on time, your phone ain't ring, you thank Him. Yeah. And you're thanking Him, and you living like that, and you walking around, you won't go unnoticed. You won't go unnoticed when you come in the room and everybody there, how you doing today? I'm doing good today. You ain't gotta be going all crazy. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. You ain't gotta have on the blessed t-shirt and the blessed. No. You just.
Amen.
I'm doing good today.
Amen.
I'm doing good today. Woke up this morning. You ain't gotta even say all this stuff, but this is what's going on in your mind. You know, the shower's running. I had to call the plumber. See, that's something to be thankful for. Plumbers ain't no joke and hard to find too. You know, I'm doing good. And it shows. Guess what? Guess what Paul says? Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay. Okay. Here's two churches. The seven churches, there was two churches. There was two churches that made it. That God didn't have nothing to say about. That God said, you are blessed and highly favored. Two churches. And one was Smyrna, which means crushed. Watch what he says to the church. Revelation 2, to the church of Smyrna. One of my favorite churches. And when I talk about the church, I think about Smyrna being crushed. Watch what he says. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna. Revelation 2, chapter 8, verse 8. He says, to the angel of the church of Smyrna, these things say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, tribulation, poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now watch what he says. Because this church was brutalized. Fear none of these things. Which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you be tried, and you shall have, here we go, tribulation, 10 days. Be thou faithful. Be thou faithful. How long, Jesus? Unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life. Let me make one more point about Cain and Abel. Abel represented suffering. He still speaks. Some folks call Abel a prophet. But God said his blood speaks from the ground. Cain made a decision. He made a decision that day. Cost him everything. We still making decisions. We still got to make choices every day. Who hasn't made a choice today?
Amen.
You got to make choices every day. Now, when I look through the Bible, I look for verses with great choices. You know what I found out this week? There are 31,102 verses in the Bible. Yeah, a lot to choose from. Got a lot to choose from. But here, you got, and I try to stay familiar, but I know you guys know this, but it's all about a choice you got to make. Okay? And I'm speaking. Okay. Joshua, y'all know the story. Here's Joshua. End of his life. Joshua's a mighty warrior. Remember the 12 spies went over? 10 of them came back and said, he was scared. I'm shaking in my boots. Joshua and Caleb, we can do this. We can do this. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was a fighter. He had faith in God. He's God said, you're going to get the promised land. Joshua said, we got it. Then he writes this towards the end. He says, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, here we go. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Remember Jesus was going down. He was on his way. Huge crowds following. Thousands of people following Jesus. John 6. And he said some strong words to the folks that was following him. He said, some of y'all follow me, don't know why you following me. Some of you follow me and you don't know the cost of what it means to be a disciple. Then in verse 65, and he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it be given unto him of the Father. And it says in 66, from that time many other disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now watch where it gets interesting at, because he's going to talk to his peoples like I'm talking to you guys. Because it may get rough. It may get difficult. It will. And then Jesus said to the 12. How about that? He said to the 12. He didn't need a whole, he didn't need a big entourage. Okay? He said to the 12, will ye also go away? See, you won't hear that in the church anymore. We don't want nobody to go away. We want everybody, you stay in your lifestyle. You can stay as long as you come because we need you. Listen, I know you're cheating on your wife. I know you're cheating on your husband. I know, but don't go stay and contaminate all the whole church. It don't matter. As long as we got a full house. It's the only thing that counts. I won't say nothing about your sin. You don't say nothing about mine. That ain't how Jesus operated. What do you see what he said? A little lemon. Y'all hear the bait, y'all know about it. Little leaven. That's a little leaven. So and hypothetically speaking, if Jeremy was LGBT and he was sitting there with his arm around his boyfriend. And I'm sitting here and say, you okay. I'm not gonna you should come to church and hear the word of God. And he'd do that for 5 years. Y'all see what I'm saying? What's the message I'm sending to everybody else? What's the message I'm sending to everybody else? Okay. What's Amaya thinking? And she look over there, well, you know, hey, that's okay with him. It's okay. It's okay.
That's right.
What need to happen? Folk need to be saved. Folk need to be saved. Peter answered and said, Lord, where should we go? He said, thou hast the words of eternal life.
Yeah.
I'll give you my last one. And it's really one of my favorite ones about making decisions, because we got to make decisions. We going to serve God or not. We don't serve God or not. I mean, see, come to church. We ain't serving God when we come to church. The service start when? When we leave. When we leave, that's when we start serving. We come in here to get empowered. We come in here to get our marching orders. Okay? Some of us don't even, we have no scriptures to help someone who is in bondage, in the bondage of homosexuality or drugs or pornography or some kind of addiction. We don't even know where to go with the scriptures, because the scriptures speak to stuff. That ain't popular. Ain't never going to be popular. Okay? But you have to make a decision. Am I going to serve God? Or I'm going to serve man? And when we serve God, there's going to be some consequences. When we serve man, there ain't no consequences. Here's Ruth. Y'all know this subject here. Ruth and Naomi and their sister. And they on their way back to Bethlehem because they found them bread in the land. But if Ruth left, It was going to cost her something. It was going to cost her inheritance. It was going to cost her family. It was going to cost her all her childhood friends, a whole bunch of stuff. And she counted the cost. Her sister did. The Bible says in Ruth 1 and 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed the mother, kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave to her, held on to her. And here's what she said. Here's what Ruth had to say. Well, here's what Naomi said first. She said, "Behold, thy sister has gone back unto her people and to her gods," little g. "Return thou after her, your sister-in-law." Watch Ruth. Watch Ruth. Make a decision. A life-changing decision. Change Ruth's whole life. Ruth is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Watch what it says. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God," capital G, capital G. "And where thou diest, will I die. And there will I bury. There will I be buried. And the Lord do unto me, and more so." Watch this. "If aught but death part thee and me." And when Naomi saw that, watch what she says. She was steadfast and minded to go her way, and she left speaking about it. Well, Pastor, you know he's talking crazy. Following Jesus is crazy.
Amen.
Okay? Following Jesus is crazy. People say, "Well, what do you mean?" No, it's crazy. It takes crazy folks to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? And some folks ain't crazy enough to follow him. Okay? I pray that you guys follow Jesus. It ain't easy. Expect some backlash, some persecution. It's coming. Oh, but the blessings. I just sit here and think about how good God has been to me and my wife. And I'm sitting here like, it ain't been easy. Now, when I say that, I don't want y'all thinking it's just been a road. It's just been smooth sailing. But it's good to overcome some things and overcome some obstacles and keep on climbing. Somebody said, you can't climb no smooth mountain. You need some humps and bumps to grab onto. And you look back over the years, and Cindy and I've been together now, 38 going on 40. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
Amen.
All the ups and downs. God is good. Precious Lord, I thank you this morning. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for great illustrations that's found in the life of Cain and Abel, Father God. Let our sacrifices, Father God, be accepted by you, Father God. Let us understand that you are God and you desire us to have faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And when we have faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, he covers us with his precious blood, Father God. Then we have power, we have a right. When we stumble, when we fall, when we don't do the things that we often know we should do, Father God, we can go to our Father and say, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." And we can know without a shadow of a doubt that he is faithful and just to forgive us. Father, thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.